All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Dave Festchuk of the Toronto Star in here this afternoon. It's going to be a fun one today. We've got Nick Nurse coming up. Nick Nurse will join us just after 5 o'clock and get into a number of things with the head coach of the Raptors. And we're coming off a Leaf loss last night in Arizona. We're creeping towards Super Wild Card weekend. Coaches are getting fired in the NFL. It's a wild scene.
Coach got fired in Houston, where he probably shook everyone's hand and said, thank you very much. Like, honestly, why did you have to fire that guy? Like, that's ridiculous. I actually thought he did a reasonable job with what he was dealt with this year, and they just go ahead and fire him.
They won a game that exceeded expectations. And David Culley got hired to get fired. That's basically what's coming out. The reports are already
out there. I
guess
so. And maybe it's for recruiting purposes going forward. They want to have a guy in there for free agents. I have no idea, but I would have just, you know what I would have done, how I would have exited that building, because it would have been a messy scene.
I'm with you.
How would you have exited, O-Dog?
Oh, I have a buddy that our agreement is, you're going to fire you, you just light the place on fire on your way out. I don't know. I would
like literally?
No, but it would be just a few chats with people. Who knows?
Well, Culley only had 2 years of guaranteed money, which is what makes it worse. I mean, we're still talking life-altering money, and he'll get another job somewhere. He's in the fraternity. He'll get a job, whether it's an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, linebacker coaches are making, you know, $1 million a year, $1.5 million. But clearly this was a premeditated attack because Houston's a mess. And they brought in David Culley because they were a mess. Bill O'Brien drag bunts his way out of there in epic proportions. Deshaun Watson doesn't even put on his pads, let alone play all year. And they set him up for 1 year and he's out. I just saw the offensive coordinator's out as well. Like, what was he supposed to do with that motley crew down in Houston? And what you get is you get a caste system within sports, and it happens in every single league, where there are certain markets, and it's always driven by the owner. Like, it's almost 100% of the time driven by the owner because the owner's horrendous and doesn't know what he's doing, where the only possible coach that you're going to get to take over that job is someone who has no other options, someone who will work on the cheap, and someone who will come in and basically take a bullet for a couple of years and move on with their career.
Guess what happens to that person, Hayes? And I've had a bunch of buddies of mine call me about opportunities saying, hey, what about this opening? I think I might be up for that job in hockey. And I'm like, you're going to go there, and they're going to be garbage, and then your resume is going to be attached to it, and you're never going to get hired again. But it's a difficult thing. You want to get into the fraternity. You want to be a coach. There's only 32 jobs in the world. You want to get one if one's available because they're so hard to get. But if you go there, as per Houston, and it's just it's garbage and it's a mess, you're attached to that. And your value going forward to become a name as somebody wants, very few guys circulate again and show up again. Gerard Gallant's a good example. Bobby Bugner's a good example. They kind of showed back up and they got another job, but it doesn't happen for everybody. Sometimes you just disappear. Look at I was going to say the Fergler, but he was
Fergler
in
the was in the house last night. Looking good.
Neither confirm or deny it.
Well, Peter Horacek comes to mind, right? Like, Peter Horacek knew he was at a spot where they were tearing it down to the baseboards, and Brendan Shanahan was in
best
Toronto.
I think those guys made Peter Horacek never want to coach again. That's true, too.
Well, but the difference there is, look who took over for him. It was Mike Babcock, because the Leafs, as bad as they were, the ownership, which didn't have the greatest reputation in terms of wins and losses, by all accounts, offered up the resources, put Shanahan in place, and said, you go ahead and figure it out. And now the Leafs are, you know, in a much better position today, at least in the regular season, as we know. But it is a very difficult opportunity to turn down. If you're not in the running anywhere else, and you don't believe you're going to, and someone calls you up and says you can be one of 32 people that can run the staff, I don't see how you turn that down. Like, unless you're so confident in your reputation that somehow one of the better teams or better run organizations will eventually call you up, it's a gamble to turn it down. What I would like to see happen, and I'm not sure if we ever have, I can't think of an example on the fly, is where someone takes one of these jobs, where in the NFL it's Detroit, Houston, I think Miami's in that group right now, Cleveland might be, you know, where someone takes a job, knows that they're only there because they're on the cheap and because the owner's a joke, turns it around, and then leaves themselves. Like, doesn't forget about the initial interaction, right? The initial reasoning for the hiring. That's what I'd love to see, is two or three years down the road, you're like, guess what? A real team just called me up. Belichick's retiring. I'm going up to New England. See you later.
What usually happens is they get the team so far, and ownership and the GM goes to them and says, you've taken them only so far. We got to bring in the Mike Babcock to get this Daryl Sutter to get this team over the hump, and you're out, so take a hike.
Maybe, but then you'll
get another
job.
It's a tough gig, man. They get paid a lot, Hazy, but that's a tough gig.
It is a tough gig, but the point I'm making is if you build up the reputation that you overcame all of this animosity and all of this toxic, horrible working environment in a place like Houston, Miami, et cetera, even that doesn't mean you win a Super Bowl, but winning season, playoffs, get the hell out of there. Like, don't forget who you're working for, and don't forget about the spot that it's in. You've done enough to use them to get you out, because you don't see that a lot. Like, generally it is just someone comes in, takes the cheap job, steps up, takes the bullets, leaves with some guaranteed money, and they're like, all right, that's enough for me. You know, I'm not going to get another spot. But
yeah,
it's,
but when you look at the money, like, you know, the head coaching money is exponentially higher generally than coordinator money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like guys are like mid-level head coaches are making $8 to $10 million in this league now. I mean, coordinators are making a lot less than that. So yeah, you're right, Hayes. Like Cully, he took that job for a 2-year deal. He's going to go out of there with many millions stuffed in his pocket. And, you know, he was never going to get that opportunity hanging around as a coordinator. So good for him.
Yeah.
One of the most important factors for these guys nowadays that's changed a lot over the last 20 years, especially the last 5 to 10, is how you treat the players and your rapport with the players. Because the players have so much power now that if they don't like you and you have a bad rap of being a jerk or whatever, treating guys like garbage, it just doesn't fly nowadays. Because they're talked to and they have input, and it's not happening if you're one of those guys. Not happening.
Well, look
whatsoever.
At Babcock. Babcock's a good example of.
Yeah, he
the
was regarded as the best
now,
hockey coach
be
in the world.
For a GM.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, 25% of the coaching jobs in the NFL are currently vacant, so up for grabs. And that's about what you see every year. You see about, you know, 6 to 8 guys come and go, a couple of GMs, a bunch of coordinators. And that's what you get this week. And then we'll wake up on Saturday and we'll realize, okay, it's football. It's freezing in Western New York. You see this story out of Buffalo now that Josh Allen's got circulation issue.
Oh my gosh.
I could speak to this, right? Like, I'm in the same boat as him, man. I swear I have circulation issues. My feet get cold, hands get cold. I'm soft as butter, but I'm not a quarterback. I'm a radio and TV guy. I don't have a problem with
being... I have a solution for you, Hazy.
I think you might, and Bart Scott might as well, which we'll play this in just a moment. I don't know if there's any science behind it, but we've spent the last 2 years people yelling and screaming about science that they believe they know that no one else knows, so why not jump on board in terms of circulation and what could happen with Josh Allen? But I am surprised Allen would say this on the record, that he's uncomfortable. Like, he's basically admitting the cold is just not for me and I'm in a bad spot. You're in Buffalo.
Exactly.
You have to know not to go on the record with this issue. I'm not downplaying the significance of it because there's probably 100% legit, I'm sure. Circulation issues, he's going to be cold, but you can't admit in the world of football that you're not in the mood to play in that kind of weather. That I don't know if that's a
Dude,
good
I
sign
don't know
for
if
Buffalo.
He said that he's not in the mood to play in that kind of weather or hinted at that, but I'll tell you what, and I brought this up, Hazy, a couple months ago. It might have been a month ago. And Mina Kimes, who works at ESPN, brought it up today, and it was just a crazy random thought. She posed a question, something like, what's everybody's kind of crazy random thought about the NFL? And hers was, maybe Buffalo, if they want to get the best out of Allen the next 10 years, is get a dome. Why not get a dome? Why do you? Why is it so important to make people freeze their ass off and the players freeze their ass off? Oh, because it's Buffalo and it's outdoor and we love the snow and we love the highlights from the 80s when they're shoveling it off the field. Nonsense. Get a dome, man. Get a dome.
They're in the works right now looking for a new park, right?
Yeah.
They're working with the city and the state and it's going to happen. I would think in the next decade or so, there's going to be a new building. But I have not seen at any point throughout this where anyone suggested they're going to build a dome.
Okay, no. Well, it's 2022. Get some kind of retractable roof or something. In the fall, it could be open. And in the wintertime, you close it.
I'm with you.
No, I think, yeah, to your point, Hayes, I've been following the stuff down in Western New York pretty closely. And not only have they not mentioned a dome, they've been pretty much anti-dome. Anytime it comes up, it's like, no, we're Buffalo. We don't do domes.
Well, why, Dave? Why are they? It's like, get with the times.
But this is why the Josh Allen comment is going to stick out even more. They won't even build a dome because they want to prove to the rest of the world that they love the weather. It's the same thing as a Canadian's mentality. We're cool with that. Oh, you're soft. You like it in Florida? We like it up here. No, we don't. Like,
the Super Bowl's in a neutral site and in a nice location every year. Why the hell would you care so much about weather like that? That is ridiculous.
They believe it's an advantage, which I think it is when Miami comes up in December. It probably is. When Tampa comes up in December.
Give me a break, man.
When New England was there a month ago, and I'm not sure it will be when New England's there in a couple of days.
I don't buy your statement that it's an advantage. I just don't buy it. Once a year and a garbage Miami Dolphins team wheels in, okay, great. I don't think you can
call that. It's always been the belief, a two-way street. When the Bills go down there in December, they're like, it's too hot. We're not used to this. I don't know if you can factually back that up.
Well, we got Coco on at 4:30. We'll ask him.
Sure, he'll know. Yeah.
Well, he's Mr. You think you're soft, Hayes. I mean, Coco's on the record saying he won't watch a game outside. He's got to be in a luxury box in Orchard Park if he's going to go to see his beloved Bills play. So he'd be on board with a dome. He'd be number one in line for tickets to the dome stadium. But this is about money, guys. The dome costs a lot more money. Like, the going rate for a stadium is already $1.5 billion. You tack a dome on, you're looking at $2 billion plus. It's you know, that extra $500-600 million is not just kicking around the pockets of some of these local governments that are getting shaken down by these teams.
You gotta pay to play. You gotta pay to play.
That's valid, but also you need a dome if you ever want a Super Bowl. And I don't know if they have the infrastructure in Buffalo, but they brought a Super Bowl to Detroit. They brought one to Indianapolis. I don't think they'll ever go back. Because it was like, if you build this, we will come. Like, if you build the new dome, we'll come to your city, even though we don't really want to be there. They prefer to be in Miami and Vegas and L.A. and Arizona, and I think that's where they're going to continue to circulate. But I would assume, based on the history of the NFL, if you build a dome in Buffalo, they'll promise the Super Bowl. And that would pay
for a lot
as well.
The problem with Buffalo is you'd have to build a dome and then about three or four hotels, because they've got like two hotels downtown, basically, right? I mean, I know I'm exaggerating.
I hear you, man. But it's not like Indianapolis is Paris, right? Or
no,
downtown
but they
Detroit.
Got some serious hotel stock because they hold NCAA tournaments.
Paris
and they hold,
proper.
They know how to hold a big event, right?
Paris proper. Yeah, but
Paris
the point
proper, exactly.
The point was, if it's not, I don't think the NFL cares that much about the infrastructure on a one-off. It's about doing the right thing for the owner. And if the owner these owners have been long-standing owners. I mean, the Pagulos, I guess, not as much. But the Wilsons, like, they were in Buffalo for a long, long time. And if you're going to pony up the money and the city's going to pump in and the state's going to pump in and the NFL believes it's in their best interest, I think they'd float them a Super Bowl. I think they would.
Wow. You'd have people staying in Toronto, in downtown Toronto, and getting ferried back and forth because that's the closest hotels or Niagara Falls.
Niagara
might be
Falls.
Involved.
What's wrong with that? Go to Niagara.
Yeah, maybe.
You know that region.
Lundy's Lane.
There you go. I support it. But anyway, should we play? I guess we should play the Bart Scott audio now that we've mentioned it, because he was on Get Up on ESPN this morning, and he said this is what he used to do, and he went as far as to say many players in his era used to do this. This.
I think he might get fired for this comment because the lady, I don't remember.
Diana Rossini. No, she was with it.
No,
she was laughing about
it. She was kind of like, oof.
This should not be a fireable offense. It seems ridiculous.
Oh, it's true.
Exactly. Why would he lie about that? If he was doing this, I think ESPN's like, okay, that's information we didn't have before. Like, I never would have thought about this.
Maybe so.
Let's play it, all right? This is Bart Scott on Get Up this morning. His advice to Josh Allen.
Can I get you a suggestion for him?
You want me
Josh Allen listening? Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. Got to fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I don't really have a response to that, but you play, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra. right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
Sir, sir, a lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean
a lot? A lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right? So it builds up circulation, which makes sure that it gets the circulation to the feet.
There it is. He's all about the circulation, man, Bart Scott.
To the feet. The circulation goes to the feet, guys.
Oh, yeah.
All I'm
else.
Thinking about is if nowhere I else. Toss that one out there for an outdoor game kind of tip for the players, what the quiz master would be doing. I think he would have just had a meltdown if I said, got to take Viagra.
You might have, but again, if you did it during
and
your
and a bunch
career,
of other guys I've known, like, known to do it,
right.
It's a tidbit, but not one that comes up very often.
It's a tidbit. I wasn't expecting to hear it. Wake up this morning and think Bart Scott's going to supply the world with that information.
Well, Riddick was completely grossed out when he was listening. He's like, I'm not even – because he's a serious dude, and I think he wants to be a GM or a president of an organization in the NFL. He was taking no part in that interaction.
I think it was Damian Woody was with them, though. He was
laughing. Yeah, he was. Oh, yeah. He couldn't stop himself.
He was loving it. And Riddick, if Riddick's going to become a GM, you know, a president or whatever, you might want to know what your players are up to. Like, if Bart Scott – I don't know. Where is he? Bart Scott was doing this. He hasn't played in a while. But anyway, I don't think that Josh Allen will take that advice, but I guess maybe we'll never know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Luke Wilson will join us in a couple of hours. We'll ask Luke about that. He's played some cold outdoor games, so we'll see if he knows what Bart Scott's on about.
But there is a lot of, there's a lot of stories out there, guys, that as Bart Scott was saying, like, you know, endurance athletes have been taking this stuff, whether or not it works or not, and actually enhances performance, you know, outside of where it's supposed to enhance performance is up for debate. I don't think there's been a lot of studies, but, you know, we've seen, like, cyclists have been caught taking it. It's not even a banned substance in a lot of places. I think Roger Clemens was known to take it when he was pitching back in the day. He took everything, as we know. It's one of the reasons he's going to have a hard time getting into the Hall of Fame, but I mean, this is not a new thing, but I think it is the twist of trying to stay warm with Viagra. That's where he's onto something a little different. And hey, man, Josh Allen's got to do something, because I agree with you, Hayes. Like, for him to admit my circulation's a little poor and I'm not great in the cold weather, maybe
Buffalo
that's mental
fans
as much as anything.
I hate that
right.
comment, man. That comment.
It's just not conducive with the mentality of football, where it's you play through anything. Like, we have Marcellus Wiley on all the time, and this could be an old school versus new school. But Marcellus, we asked him about, you know, flying up the benches to Washington and Washington flying them into Philly. And he's like, in my day, it was like an honor to sit on a cold, bad bench, because you were like, nothing can stop me from getting geared up. You know, I remember the picture circulated when New England was in Buffalo last month, but during that crazy snowstorm, and their center, I can't remember his name, was out there in pregame in shorts and a T-shirt warming
right.
up. And it was like, I don't care about this weather. Like, this is what I do to get ready, and this is what I'm going to do, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to come out and maul all over you guys. And, like, is Josh Allen going to take warm-up? Is he going to have extra socks on? Like, I guess we'll find out. But the pressure's on Allen. Like, it's not on the rookie Mac Jones. He may not throw the ball more than three or four times.
You got it.
On Saturday night. It's all on Allen and the home team. So we'll catch up with Luke Wilson in a couple of hours, ask him to respond to Bart Scott and Josh Allen and a dome in Buffalo. How would he feel about that? He's from Windsor, though. He's not used to the cold weather either. Like, Luke Wilson's a Windsor guy, so he probably felt uncomfortable when he had to go to Buffalo and play in the cold. It's a hot pocket down there in Windsor.
That's right, the Miami of Canada.
The Miami of Canada. All right, so Carlo will join us in about 10 minutes. The Leafs, I don't know what else to say other than a goalie I had never heard of before put on just a remarkable performance last night.
Dude,
like, Vemelka was unbelievable. I honestly was laughing watching the game. I remember five or six shots from the Arizona Coyotes. The two that went in, Phil had a couple in the first period. Kessel was hopping in the first, and he just blended in the rest of the night. I don't remember ever hearing his name.
He is so funny to watch. If you actually kind of – if you played and know what he's up to out there,
yeah,
it is classic. But I am so glad I worked beside Pooley, because Pooley took the goaltender in between intermissions, and it was an ISO on him, and I had to look at him because I'm like, how the hell does he know who this guy is? He was like, this guy's played in all of his losses this year. He's had no goal support. I got to be honest, I never heard of that guy before. It was Denny Lemieux was all as far as I'm concerned, and he went out and stoned him. What else can you do? I will say this, though, other than Auston Matthews, not too many impressed although they had an abundance of shots, I wasn't too impressed with too many of the Leafs, other than Austin Matthews.
Well, it's been his trip, right? Like Matthews.
No kidding.
In Colorado, he was unbelievable. The Colorado game might have been the best game of his season. And I thought he doubled down in Vegas. I thought his line. I think his lines played well. I will say this. I think Micah Bunting has been unreal, considering what the expectations were coming in. You talk about a guy who wasn't a household name, barely played in the NHL in Arizona. He rolls in here, takes over for Zach Hyman, and he has done more than enough in terms of pulling his weight. I thought he was effective last night. I thought that line was good in Vegas and Colorado. Now, you could argue that's Matthews dragging him, but Bunting's shown some skill. He's an agitator. He shows up every night, man. I'm a big fan of the way this dude's playing. I thought he was good last night. I thought that line was good. I agree with you in terms of maybe no one else really sticking out. Nylander had some hop. Like, Nylander had some opportunities and chances last night. I didn't think he played well in Vegas, yet he scored early and he closed it with the shootout winner. Everything in between for Willie in Vegas was really nothing to write home about. But it was like a team game. They had the puck all night.
They did. It's so frustrating.
It wasn't even
close. It was like you're playing against basically an American Hockey League team. You're way better than them, and then you look at the scoreboard and you're losing the hockey game. It's just one of those nights. Honestly, that happens two or three times a year, and it unfortunately happened in Austin Matthews' hometown, which I don't think that Sheldon Keefe wasn't very happy blowing the leads, but I don't think it got to a position because back in the day, losing to the worst team in the league, honestly, it would threaten the golf the next day. It would be like, boys, we're practicing. Sorry, you just pissed away your day off. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that. It wasn't one of those things where I think guys would be all bent out of shape and miserable the next day. It would just be, go enjoy the day, and we'll see you back at work on Friday.
Yeah, no, they got the day off today. And you had to give Matthews the day off in his hometown. I mean, that was not going to be compromised no matter what happened in that game. I agree with you. Oh, that I'm sure the guys were a little worried when you lose. But to me, though, the thing that I got a kick out of was the coach saying, I'm a little worried about the conditioning. You know, he's talking about how now that you look at these last three games, they've been outscored 5-1 over the last three games in third periods. Of course, you know, they've been really fading late. And I don't know what that says about these guys. I guess some of them, like Timothy Liljegren last night, he's playing for the first game in a month, and so was Peter Mrazek. You give those guys the gimme for coming back after long absences, COVID-related. But what the rest of them are doing, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how you can be upset with your team's conditioning in mid-January, unless it's a COVID thing too, and you got to give them a pass to get back in shape.
Well, I think there's probably something to that. One of the few guys who did not have COVID was Matthews. And I'm sure that afforded him the chance to go to the gym, maybe stay on the ice and keep cooking, right? Like, where these other guys, they're humans. You know, if you're told, listen, you got to sit in your apartment for 10 days, maybe you jump on the Peloton a couple of times. Maybe you just catch up on shows and order food. You know, like, that's possibly what happened here. And they're coming out of it. And it's not that COVID itself necessarily is what is causing them the issues catching back up. It could have quite literally just been 10 days of doing nothing. And now they're trying to catch their legs on the road against tough teams, Colorado, Vegas, Arizona on a back-to-back. I also wonder if it was more specific. Like, he's talking about specific guys and specific moments. You know, Brody got beat last night. It was kind of a lazy defensive play. His man beat him to the back post. Is that conditioning or is that mentally maybe fatigued? I'm not sure. Liljegren looked really slow last night.
Yeah.
Really slow.
Speaking of Phil, did you see Phil blow by him on that one play and get in there tight?
Yeah.
Well, when's the last time that guy played in a hockey game?
It's been almost a month.
Yeah. And last night, not having Sandin, that cost
him. Why wasn't he playing, by the way?
It was a cap-related issue.
That really sucks for the kid, man.
It does. And guess it cost him because Dermott cost him that first goal, and Dermott's not playing if Sandin's in the game last night. Like, Sandin has made it abundantly clear he's playing. Like, I'm sorry,
Travis Dermott,
it's non-negotiable. You can figure out who the other guy is. Maybe Dermott's on his offside. Maybe Liljegren's there. They're going to have to figure that out. I think ideally you find another top four and Hall's the guy, and Sandin and Hall are probably your third pairing, if Hall can stay in the lineup, because he's not been spectacular either. But Sandin's playing, and you got to find a way to make that work. Like, I get a cap issues, it pops up, it happens, and he got burned because he played really well in Vegas and he's been good. But him not being in the lineup directly put Dermott in a position – and that pairing in a position where they gave up a goal last night, I'm not sure if that happens, if it's Rasmus Sandin playing in that moment. But it's been the Austin Matthews show, and he broke the record last night, 9 straight on the road. When this guy's done here in Toronto, he's going to probably own every significant goal-scoring record or real close to it. And he's now on pace for, 59, 60 goals on the season. I think he's back to being the favorite, if not co-favorite, for the Rocket. And I think Rick Vive, his record of 54 goals in a season, is in jeopardy if he stays healthy. So we'll get to that extensively throughout the afternoon. Nick Nurse will join us just after 5 o'clock. Carlo Colaiacovo coming up. Dave Festchuk in here of the Star with the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Nick Nurse will join us at 5:05. The Raptors are in Detroit taking on the Pistons tomorrow night. And Scotty Barnes back at practice today, so you have to believe he'll likely return. Gary Trent Jr. was not. Find out what happens with Gary, and he's on the trip, though, and the Raptors coming off a tough loss a couple of nights ago, but prior to that, winning a lot of ball games. So we'll catch up with the head coach in just over half an hour. We've got the Leafs waiting, I guess, for Mitch Marner and Pierre Engvall to fly in. I think they're flying into Arizona for the off day, and they'll probably get up tomorrow, fly to St. Louis, I would guess, practice in St. Louis, and then play in St. Louis on Saturday night. So the Leafs are back in action this weekend, and super wild card weekend, including the Buffalo Bills at home Saturday night against the New England Patriots. And here is Mr. Bills Mafia himself. You hear him Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on First Up, Carlo Colaiacovo. How do you feel about your boy Josh Allen claiming his toes are going to be cold on Saturday night?
I'm nervous, boys. I'm nervous because, as we saw over the last 4 weeks, the difference between what a good Bills team looks like and what an average team Bills like, it's the weather. And I think the weather could potentially play a huge factor in this game on Saturday. So I'm hoping for mild weather because I think the real Bills will show up. And, you know, anything worse than that, you know, that's leading right up the alley of the New England Patriots and the way Bill Belichick wants to coach. So I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Coco, we were talking about it. Why not a dome? Like, why does Buffalo want to torture everyone, the players included? You've got one of the best quarterbacks, best young quarterbacks in the league. Give him a dome to play in the next 10 years and get the best out of him. What is freezing your ass off? Who does that appeal to? Who?
I couldn't agree with you more, O. You know, this has been a big topic of discussion in front, like, for the fans of Buffalo and in the Buffalo area about a new stadium. And
are you, like, involved in, like, group chats, like Bills? You know what I'm talking about? Are you involved in that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Online? Are we talking about
Reddit? No. Not online. No. With my buddies. Like, group.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Bills,
okay.
Bills buddies.
All right.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, you talk about the strength of Josh Allen. It's his, obviously, the cannon of the arm that he has. And, you know, the way he's able to be mobile and big into the pocket. And when you have bad weather games, you're taking his strengths away. And, you know, I've been listening to a lot of WGR Buffalo Radio this week leading up to the game. And, you know, lo and behold, a lot of fans are calling in and talking about the same things. And they're adamant that they'll never have a dome. And I don't understand it because I walk outside to shovel my snow and I'm freezing. I don't understand how these players, athletes, play in minus 20 degree temperatures.
It's just
the players. How do fans stay out there for 4+ hours, you know, and barely come? I guess they're warm, you know, being drunk in the tailgate before the game. But
there's your answer.
I would love to see a dome.
Carlo, you're gonna be expunged from the Buffalo Sabres Alumni Society if you keep talking like this. Like, didn't you live in Western New York for a good portion of your latter days of your career?
I lived 3 blocks from the stadium, Dave, and I saw it firsthand. I saw the tailgating firsthand. I went to the game a couple times, and it's tough, man. It's cold. It gets cold. I'm one of those guys that loves the snow. I could deal with snow all day, you know, every day of the, I wouldn't say every day of the year, but all winter, as long as it's not cold, because I hate the cold. But give me snow. I love it. It's beautiful.
Dude, it's unbearable. My wife, I took her to the outdoor game, USA Canada. She said
in Buffalo.
She lasted 10 minutes, went to a bar down the street.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
No, it's tough, man. It's a grind for sure. Yeah. But it's a big game, so they better overcome this. And pressure's on the Bills. And We'll see. We'll see what happens, and I'm sure you guys are going to be all over it this morning.
Hayes,
you'll be on it tomorrow.
You're a Green Bay fan. I mean, wouldn't you think Rodgers would probably have more championships if they played in a dome?
Guaranteed.
Possibly. The thing is, Lambeau is so cherished as a stadium where, what's it called now? New Era Field or just Buffalo Bills Stadium? I don't even know if that's
the title. Highmark Stadium.
Highmark Stadium, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't have any backing behind it. In terms of history.
It's a sponsored field.
It's 2022. People would get over the outdoor Lambeau Field. If you build them a beautiful stadium with a dome, they would forget about it the second they walked in. Nobody cares anymore,
for Lambeau.
Man.
Lambeau's a museum. Lambeau's Wrigley. Lambeau's Fenway. It's a museum. It is. But like, they make a fortune off people going just simply to walk around Lambeau Field. You're not getting that with a dome.
But guys, first of all, you know, the $500 million extra dollars it's going to cost to build a dome is the reason they're not going to do it, because they don't have that money lying around Western New York. But the other thing is, like, don't you think this is mental, Carlo? Like, Aaron Rodgers is a California guy who transplanted himself to rural Wisconsin and is doing just fine, about to win another MVP playing in the frozen tundra. And Josh Allen's a California guy who can't get over that mental hump here. Like, the benches are heated. You can get heated insoles. You can get heated pads inside your little muff as a quarterback. You can get everything heated in this day and age. It's not that bad, but he's making it worse than it is.
Well, I guess if you want to look at the glass half full here, is Mac Jones is not an outdoor quarterback either.
This guy played in Alabama,
grew up in the southern state of grew up in Jacksonville. So he hates the cold too. So I guess that evens itself out. Maybe Josh Allen is used to a little more because he's played in the Buffalo weather. I don't know. I'm not a fan. Like, this is sort of the beef I have with baseball too. You play the majority of your season in warm weather, and then the most important time of the year, you're playing in October, November when it's cold outside. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
That's just history, though, man. That's the way it works. I don't know. I hope for the Bills' sake, I hope for Josh Allen's sake, that they fire things up on Saturday and get cooking. As for the Leafs last night, they ran into a goalie that stood on his head. I know Sheldon Keefe was not happy after the game, and it's embarrassing when you lose to the worst team in the league. Like, I understand that. Like, regardless of the context, you don't even have to watch the tape. You lost to Arizona. That's bad. When you're in a race, and they're in a big one here with Tampa, Florida, and Boston's coming.
Crazy.
Every point counts. You want to bank it. That's frustration. I understand it. I get it why Keefe would be frustrated. I think the players should be too. But they had a million chances, a million high-end slot shots, and it just they couldn't break the guy down, and it just didn't go their way. But Matthews pots another one, and that's 9 straight on the road. That's a new team record. He's now got 24 on the season. He's tied Ovechkin. He's 2 back at Draisaitl. I haven't looked at the odds out of Vegas. I'd be shocked if he's not the favorite to win the Rocket. He's got to be, right? He has to be. And I think it's time to really start looking towards Rick Vive and his record. He had 54 one year. That's a team record. I think if he stays healthy, it's a borderline lock he's going to score 55. Like, I think he breaks the record this year. He would have broken it the last 2 years if they played 82.
I think I have to agree with you, Hayes. I mean, the run that he's on, it's almost like you just expect him to score now every time he plays. And I know they haven't played many games over the last month, but he's played the last month without Mitch Marner along his side as well, too. And it hasn't seemed to stop him. And he almost, you know, as much as we're wowed by some of the way he scores goals, I mean, he almost pulled off the Michigan in the game yesterday where he tried to flip the puck onto his stick and wrap it in from behind the net. And, you know, that just adds to, you know, more of the superstardom that he's providing for us. But I mean, it's amazing the record that he's on and the way this guy, you know, sort of gets himself pumped up to play in these big games. I think, you know, the fact that he's doing it should be an example for other guys to start following, because if they can get more, you know, depth scoring with this group and just not always depend on him, maybe they would have found a way to win last night. But if there's one thing we learned last night, we learned the name of Karel Vemelka.
No kidding.
Because he was unbelievable. I mean, and you would know too. Like, that just happens. Like, you run into those scenarios where you run into a hot goaltender, and it wasn't the Leafs' night last night. And, you know, I get, you know, Sheldon Keefe's frustrations sometimes, but sometimes you just got to look and say, look, we did everything we could. We just didn't get the right bounce tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and listen, he hasn't had many opportunities to call it his team. They haven't lost a lot of games.
Right.
Like, let's be honest. They have not lost a lot of games. And interestingly enough, when they lost in Colorado, which I thought that was one of their worst third periods of the year, if
agreed,
not the worst third period of the year, he came out and he's like, I only see positives. You know, Sheldon was going out of his way to be positive and optimistic about the outcome. And this one where this was men against boys, it was not even close at any point last night. They happened to lose the game, and he was more unhappy post-game than we've seen in quite some time. But, yeah, I think Matthews – McDavid is in a class of his own. I think it's getting to the spot where you can be considered the definitive second-best player in the world – is up for grabs. I have Draisaitl there right now. I think McKinnon would be there in that conversation, clearly. I think a healthy Kucherov would be in that conversation. I wonder where Cale Makar is going to take this chat down the road. But I don't think it's attainable to catch or pass McDavid, because I just think he's a freak, and he's just plays the game differently, and the numbers he's going to put up are going to be crazy.
Yeah.
But if Matthews bottles this three-game run that we've seen on the road so far, it's not going to be every night because it's not possible. But that's a case for being number two. Like I don't believe Draisaitl or McKinnon are definitively better when they're at their best than what we've seen at Austin Matthews the last three games. I just don't believe that.
I agree with you, Hayes. I mean, when we did our TSN top 50 list at the beginning of the year, I had Matthews at number two because of exactly what you just said. And I know, you know, Draisaitl and McKinnon, those guys started off hot, and Matthews was a little bit slow to get out of the gate because he missed the early part of the season, didn't really have a training camp. Well, now he's starting to catch up, and he's starting to find his rhythm, and his rhythm right now looks some kind of good. I mean, we talk about the streak that he's on, and, you know, he could have passed Draisaitl yesterday in that game if he didn't run into a hot goaltender because of the chances that he's finding himself getting night after night, game after game, you know, in the scoring slot, the prime scoring area. So, I mean, you'd have to think there's always going to be some sort of dip, and who knows with this season where every day we see games postponed and COVID playing, you know, a factor as well, too, how much that will, you know, play a factor down the stretch here. But if he keeps going the way that he is, I think he's winning his second Rocket Richard Trophy at the end of the season.
So, Carlo, where are you? I haven't heard your take yet on Evander Kane joining an NHL team, obviously probably a desperate NHL team. There's, we're not sure where it's at right now, but what's your take on how much he can help right now?
Well, I don't think it's any secret. People that watch him play hockey know that he can play the game of hockey, and he's productive when he does play. But as we're seeing right now, there's more allegations and more situations that the league is looking into. I just think that this guy has done so much to damage his reputation away from the ice that he becomes very untrustworthy. And I know Edmonton is acting out of desperation right now because the cap is not allowing them to make any trades, and they're finding him at, you know, probably a low bargain value that can, you know, create high upside. But I would still be very skeptical to think that he would be a solution to any team, considering he just walked out of one of the most stable cultures that exist in the league in San Jose.
Yeah.
So, they told him to get out, too. He just didn't walk out.
Right. So, I mean, it just seems like we can't go a month, and right now it looks like a week, maybe even days, without his name popping up into the media. And remember, that's happening outside of a Canadian market. Could you imagine how much more that would be magnified in a Canadian market like Edmonton? And those are the things that you have to worry about when you're bringing him in. Look, I played with him in Buffalo. I really enjoyed my time with him. I thought he was a fun guy to be around. And it just seemed like ever since he left Buffalo, that's where things have really started to catch up to him. And I don't know if it stops. You know, how can you trust that it can't stop when literally this guy is breaking protocols left, right, and center?
Yeah, it's a track record now.
Yeah, like right? So
it's to be expected. But I think what you would have going for you if you're a team bringing him in is you understand the risk you're taking, because you're bringing in a guy, you don't know if you can trust him. I mean, that's just a fact. You don't know if you can trust Evander Kane. But trusting him for 4 months at $750,000 is a lot easier than trusting him with 5 years at $25 million.
Absolutely.
In other words, it's pretty simple. We'll give you a shot. You mess up. You're late for practice once. By 5 seconds, you're cut. Like, you're out. Like, you just you don't give him an opportunity to breathe, basically, is what I would expect to happen. Like, anything outside of you showing up at the rink, playing, being a good teammate, being a guy that we can rely on to show up and perform, we're just going to have to let you go.
And Hazy, another element.
And that might be the
is,
case.
I hope this guy can get it together. But the one thing about this is you take the chance and you said low risk at 4 months, 750, just play hockey and try not to do anything stupid in 4 months. But it would be something to sign him and have the big, oh, you know, we actually love Evander Kane, he's on our team. And then what if some kind of greasy story comes out of the woodworks just after you signed him? Because when you're getting in the kind of trouble where you're talking about the millions of dollars being lost, I'm sure there's a greasy scoop where he owes somebody some money or something, some stupid stories out there that might pop up just after you signing, and it'll be a PR nightmare.
Yeah.
PR nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, it comes down to what you're willing to stomach and what – who knows if he ends up in Edmonton, it sounds as if they're legitimately kicking tires or doing more than just that. McDavid was asked about it yesterday. McDavid's
getting
grilled.
Why would they bring McDavid out? You only have to ask McDavid about this situation if they actually sign him. If it's just speculation, why would you do it? I don't blame him for those answers. I don't know. I don't care what you guys think. It hasn't happened yet. I would have said the same thing. Now everybody's all over McDavid. He doesn't care about the right things. They haven't even signed the guy yet.
Yeah. My interpretation on the McDavid thing was Ken Holland's going to make the call, and we'll just support what Ken Holland decides to do.
Yeah.
And, yes, it is a mentality of if you can help us win, we're going to, you know, plow through here. Yeah. But that's not exclusive to them. You can like it or not, but it's a reality in pro sports. And McDavid is never really comfortable speaking about any. I mean,
as
he wins an MVP, doesn't want to talk.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to talk about that. But if you're the captain, you have to. He could have saved himself maybe some trouble and just said, guys, until it happens, I'm not going to comment on it. That probably would have been the PR play is don't know what's happening. We'll see. And then if it happens, I'll give you an answer on it. But,
and I almost seem like you can tell just by the look on his face that he's feeling the pressure, too, of, you know, Edmonton's failures right now. And he wants anything that could possibly happen to help change their fortunes because the expectation there is to win and to be a playoff team. And he's probably thinking, look, I mean, I'm not going to worry about what this guy does off the ice. I've seen what he can do on the ice, and if he can help us win, that's ultimately what I want to do. It's almost like, you know, you could have the Tom Brady comparison there where, you know, Tom Brady vouches for a guy like Antonio Brown because, you know, he's worried about winning on the football field. And I'm not necessarily saying that's the right thing or the right approach, but that's the mindset, especially when these guys like Connor McDavid right now who haven't experienced much winning are feeling the pressures of it right now.
Yeah, and again, not their decision ultimately to do it.
Right.
It's the GM and the owner that are going to sign off on all this, and it hasn't happened yet. We'll see. All right, buddy. Great stuff as always. We'll catch you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Can't wait, boys. Enjoy the super-duper wild-card weekend.
We cannot wait for it. We love it.
Go Bills.
Super-duper wild-card weekend. Go Bills. There's Carla Koliakova first up with Koliakova and Korolnik, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday right here on TSN Radio. Nick Nurse in about 15 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
I got to show you guys this clip from a caddy. One of my favorite golf follows on Twitter is Joel Damon. He actually won a tour. I think it was in Puerto Rico last year. He seems like a great guy, loves drinking, partying. I think he beat cancer. He's just an awesome guy. His caddy's out in Hawaii, and this is the kind of cat this guy is. Before the tournament, before the first round, he asked his caddy to do this. Joel from the Bridge, play the video of this guy.
My boss over there just asked me to get him a hot dog before we tee off. So here I am standing in line. He's either on 59 watch or 82 watch. I'm not sure.
Can you imagine telling your caddy, go get me a dog before tee off?
I love that, man. He's
great.
Got the bucket hat going, dogs on the first tee. And, yeah, he he's involved in the Netflix special or the documentary. I saw he weaseled his way in there, Joel Damon.
Did you hear Bryson's comment? I think the Grappler just sent it. He goes, I don't want guys seeing what I'm doing because they're so far behind. That's when I said I'm not doing this. I'm not, no way.
That's exactly how he'd be thinking, though. I'm not surprised at all that he doesn't want people. He thinks he's got something so figured out in terms of his work ethic, his approach, the angles, the math, the science behind it all. And I think he'd be a guy also that would want to control it all too, right? Like he'd do his own. I could see him doing his own documentary and posting it on BrysonDeChambeau.com.
Well, he posts them on YouTube all the time anyways, right? He's doing 15 minutes in the day in the life of Bryson every day, it seems.
Right.
A shirtless ball hitting and hanging out with his crypto buddies and his gamer buddies. That's Bryson.
Yeah, and listen, there's some intrigue there. I'd like to get behind the curtain as much as possible, but I also want to know what Joel Damon's up to and getting hot dogs on tour.
Harry Higgs, baby.
Harry Higgs.
Oh,
Harry,
he'll be a legend.
Harry's in it, too, and Harry Higgs was tweeting today. He's like, he wasn't included. They posted like 25 players on some snapshot. He wasn't one of the faces. He's like, I'll make up for this once it gets started.
Oh, yeah.
Harry Higgs. He's down in Hawaii slashing it around. We'll track what's going on at the Sony Open. And Nick Nurse coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.